All right, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 26. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful, Father, for what you've already done through the hymns and the special music. We're so thankful that this Norton family has decided to come and be with us on this day, and we appreciate it. Father, we ask you, please, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pray that you'll fill Brother Tony with your Holy Spirit as he preaches to the kids in the back. We cannot do this work on our own, Father. You must do it. It's a very important work. It's a grave work. It's a life-changing work. And we pray today, Father, that you will accomplish everything that you want to do with the message you've given in the hearts of every person that's here. We ask you, please, to do it in Jesus' name. Father, we also pray for John Paisley, with Jim Chambers and their churches up in California, Pasco, Washington. I pray, Father, that you will bless these men with power in their preaching, wisdom to direct their churches, good men that will be faithful, families, Father, that will be zealous to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the opportunity to accomplish everything in their ministries that you desire for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and you're going to probably think, what special occasion does the preacher think we're celebrating today? Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You say, Preacher, did you get your calendar wrong? Didn't you know this is Mother's Day? That's a Christmas text there. Not really. Not really. Because when you think about Mother's Day and you think about what kind of message could be preached, and I've preached all kinds of messages on all kinds of Mother's Day. I think this is the 20th Mother's Day since I've been in the ministry that I've preached. So there are all kinds of texts, and I don't think I've preached the same thing twice. The thought came to mind, what about the mother of Jesus? What was she like? What kind of woman did God choose to be the mother of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's an interesting thought. What character was in Mary? What is in her personality? What is in her spirituality? What is in her demeanor that God would choose her among all the other women to be the mother of Jesus Christ? If we can find out what that is, then what we can find out is what objective should we have, women, to be the mother that God wants me to be, or to be the mother that I will be when I marry in the future. What is the example that I can follow? Mary, make a great example of the person to follow. Just look at some of her characteristics that are worthy of note. First of all, we find out that she was a virgin. Look again in verse 26 or 27. He went to Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I think it's very important, first of all, that young women who aren't married and hope to be married one time and have children of their own, I think that it's very important for them to recognize that a great character is to remain pure until you meet the husband that God brings you, and then wait for your marriage. You say, well, that's so old-fashioned. Nobody does it that way anymore. Everybody tries it out before they ever get married, and if they don't like that, they go here and they go there and they go here. You know something? At some point in time, that surely cheapens the relationship between a husband and a wife. You know, at some point in time, what happens is it contributes, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, to the philosophy, you know what? I'll get married, and if I don't like this one, I'll just go get me another one. I've been doing that already leading up to this. You know, if you realize that you're going to give yourself to the man that you marry and you're not going to give yourself to him until you marry, you know what? You'll be a lot more careful about who you marry. And I think Mary was just that way. She remained a virgin. The Bible tells us, I don't want you to turn there because I want you to stay in the text. We read a long passage. We're going to look at more things in here. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And you know what you don't see right now in our country and what you don't see in the world is that God's judgment is against the things that people are doing today. And since you don't see some lightning bolt crash down every time a young girl decides to give the only thing she has to give, that she could give to her husband that nobody else takes it, give to some boy in a careless evening, she doesn't realize that God's against that. Hello. God is against that. Terribly against that. They say, but it's so accepted. It's so, you see it in the movies and you hear about it in the songs and all the high school kids are talking about it and all that kind of thing. You know, I don't watch television, but you see it. You'll see it if you're in a hotel room. You'll see it like if you're in a doctor's office. I happen to be in a doctor's office waiting for my appointment. And what's the name of this group? The Kardashian sisters, is that their name? You know, they were on some morning talk show. And I saw that piece where the interviewer, are there three of them? The three of them, right? The interviewer asked them, so when did you lose your virginity? That was the question. You know, that's one where you want to go, pow, none of your business, next question. But instead of that, they answered the question and revealed that information to the world. And, you know, there are a lot of other girls that are watching that going, oh, I guess that's what I ought to do because everybody idolizes these. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not the example to follow. If you're going to follow an example of a woman, follow the example of Mary. That's the right thing to do. And save yourself for the person to whom you'll be married. You say, well, it's too late for that. All right, then, stop and leave it that way. That's a good example. That's what God chose to be the mother of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I think he made a good choice, don't you? I have to tell you something else. She was espoused to a good man. Notice again in verse 27, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Now, we're not going to turn from passage to passage to look at all the things about Joseph because we're preaching about Mary today. But you know something? There are some good things about Joseph. Here, Gabriel comes and visits with Mary, but do you know that Joseph had his own encounter with an angel? Because when he found out that Mary was pregnant after this thing happened, you know, he's got to be scratching his head. What's up with this? You and I are engaged. We are espoused. It's as if we're going to be married, and now you're pregnant. How do you explain this? And so the Bible says that when he found out what had happened to her, that he was going to put her away privily because he was an honorable man. In other words, he didn't want to make a spectacle out of her. He was just going to let this thing dissolve and politely put it all away and not let that happen. And an angel showed up to him and said, whoa, pal, don't do that. And explained to Joseph that the pregnancy was something that was accomplished by the Spirit of God and that she was going to be the mother of Jesus who shall save his people from their sins. He is the Messiah. And of course, this was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, so it was not a surprise. But you know what? Joseph didn't argue with the angel, and Joseph didn't pitch a fit over this thing that might have happened to his wife. He did what the angel said. And you know, he proved by that he was a God-fearing man. Listen, young ladies, she was espoused to a good man. She chose a man that feared the Lord. And I've so told you before, I probably will never stop. We don't hear that phrase much anymore. But when I was younger, even though I was raised in a kind of church that's very different than what you hear today, I remember hearing on several occasions people complimenting a man who had a good character, and they say, yes, sir, he is a God-fearing man. You don't hear that much anymore. You know what? Our relationship should never get so good with the Lord and so casual that we just kind of put off the fear side of God. The right combination, many of you, if I ask you right now, how many of you loved your dads when you were growing up, you'd raise your hand. If I ask you how many of you feared your dads, the same people would raise their hand. You can love them and fear them both and ought to. He was a God-fearing man, and he did what God wanted him to do. Listen, when Jesus was growing up, every year, the Bible says, he took his family back down to Jerusalem for the Passover. Don't you know when you read in the Old Testament, they let that Passover go for the longest time? This man was faithful to keep that Passover while he was raising his family. And that's not an easy thing to do. Not only was he a God-fearing man, but he was a family man. I don't know if you knew this because a lot of people keep referring to Mary as the Virgin Mary. She did not remain a virgin all of her life. She was a married woman. And the duty and the responsibility of a wife when she's married is to participate in that. They had at least six other children. The Bible says that they had four boys, and those boys had sisters. So at least six plus Jesus is seven children. And Joseph was a family man. The Bible says that he was a place where Jesus Christ, after that episode in the temple, you remember when he was talking to the doctors and discussing things? Okay. The Bible says he came back and he was with his family and he was subject unto them. That's a good man who can keep his family subject unto him. Jesus Christ did not enter the ministry until he was nearly 30 years old. That's a good man that can keep his family together through all those teens and early 20s. He was a family man. And you know, a lot of guys marry today and they go, oh boy, I'm going to get married and I'm going to have this wife and woohoo! Yeah, but you're going to have kids with all that. And what are you going to do about those? What kind of man are you going to be when the kids come? You got to think about that. You going to be a good dad? Are you going to be a good to their mother? Are they going to see an example there that you're going to want them to follow so that when they start raising your grandkids, you'll be happy with those? See, those are a lot of things to think about. Joseph was that way. And not only that, but Joseph was a working man. The Bible says about Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 13, is thus not the carpenter's son. In Mark chapter 6, in the same passage, is this not the carpenter? Joseph was a working man, and his talent was such, not only was he able to do good things in carpentry, But he was able to teach his son good things in carpentry so Jesus could do the same things that Joseph did when he grew up. And I say his son, you know that God is the father of Jesus Christ, and Joseph became the foster dad. But listen, he was a working man. And this is a strange thing today. There are a lot of people out there that don't work. Did you know that? There are a lot of people you know that have a job that aren't working. That's frustrating, particularly if you sign the paychecks. No, he was a working man. He put some effort in there and took care of the responsibility. Listen, young ladies, he may be handsome and he may have a great wall on his Facebook page. And he may be very athletic and he may have some money. But if he's not God-fearing and a family man and a working man, you better turn around and run, lest you fall in love with the wrong thing. Oh, I tell you, boy, you watch them at their weddings. We're so in love. And 5 years later at the coffee shop, I can't stand that fool. What happened in there? Bad choice. Bad choice is what happened in there. Started off on the wrong foot. She was a virgin. She was espoused to a good man. But not only that, in verses 28 to 30, she was favored by the Lord. Look at verse 28. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that are highly favored. Now that's something, be favored by God like that. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. May I tell you something? Whew! You're a lady here today. If an angel could show up to you right now and said, You're highly favored, you have found favor with God, you might just fall down and thank God and praise the Lord. That is, you can't be paid a greater compliment than that. That is tremendous. You say, I didn't get all the looks. You don't need all the looks when you get favor with God. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to find favor with God while you are seeking favor with your peers, because your peers and God don't think the same. If you try to go out there where the world is in the little classroom settings in school, try to go out there in the little college settings at school, try to go out there in the working places, out there in career-oriented places out there where they don't like God and they all came from monkeys, or believe that anyway, might as well have the way they talk, right? And you try to find favor with that crowd, you're not going to find favor with God. They don't give favor the same way. You'll find that if you try to find favor with God, it's going to separate you from the crowd. And you say, I don't like being separated from the crowd. Not until you find God's crowd. I'll tell you, we had a few of these men stand that were working yesterday, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm going to live out the rest of my life with these guys unless God does something. You know, I die or they die. God would have to work a miracle to move us from what God's doing here. You understand that? And I don't want to go. But I'm going to live out my life with these guys, and I would rather live my life with these guys than with any other guys on the face of this earth. I mean that. You guys, I mean that. God's done something in our hearts to put us together, and I like the men that are with us. Amen. It's good. These are good men. But you know something? The world doesn't like these guys. I was out there in the world with the corporate and American environment, and I know how they talk. I know the dirty stories they tell. I know the language they use. I know the way they take God's name in vain. I know the stuff they do with their families and to their families and against their families. These guys don't do that stuff. If I got to be with a handful of guys that are in favor with God as opposed to a whole bunch of people out there that couldn't care less when I'm gone and when I die, let the world go do its thing. I want these guys. And if I say that to you, I say that to say this. Girls, don't worry about finding all kinds of favor with that stuff out there. Find you some good girls. Find you some good ladies who want to be in favor with God and hang with that crowd. Say, well, I only know three people like that. If you've got three people like that that can hang with you with the Lord and find favor with God, you are a millionaire in spirituality. That's a good bunch of people to hang with right there. Some that you can love, that'll love you and pray for you and care for you. And she had favor with the Lord. She sought to please God. And as a result, she gained that favor with him. Listen, in the whole grand scheme of things, the only person that really matters is God anyway, because when you stand before God in your judgment, those peers aren't going to be there to stand with you. And then you'll know how important it was to do what God wanted you to do. Favored by the Lord. There's no higher compliment. You say, what in the world is it that God finds favor with? You got one of these? Got one of these? You heard somebody singing about it this morning, some young girls that were singing about it this morning? Get in there and start right here, page one. Right there, page one. Oh, Genesis chapter 1. You want me to read the whole thing? All of that? Oh, yeah, read right on through there, all the way through right there, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It'd be tough, but you can get through it. Numbers, Deuteronomy, go read all through there, Psalms, all that stuff. Come on through there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Revelation. Then what do you want me to do? Go back through and do it again. And while you're going through that thing, why don't you take a note? And every time you find anything in there that God shows you that gets favor with him, do that. Just make that a part of your life. And then you'll know what it is to favor God. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, then you're never going to find out what it is to favor God. I'm not going to tell you. I was talking to a guy yesterday, a missionary. And I told him, I said, when Brother Hoffmeister comes off the field and goes on furlough, his number one objective is to glorify God. The guy asked me, how do you do that? Get that book right there and read that. It'll tell you how to do that. Favor by the Lord. What else was in Mary? Look at verse 37. The angel gave this big rundown about how Jesus Christ was going to be born and the Holy Ghost was going to do this. And then he says, for with God, in verse 37, he says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, I believe you believe that, but I don't believe that we live that way. You face impossible circumstances. You face improbable circumstances, not impossible, just improbable circumstances. Throw your hands up and go, oh my God, what are we going to do? You're not even in an impossible situation and you're already in despair. And the Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Well, when she goes down and sees Elizabeth, Elizabeth says in verse 45, blessed is she that believed. You know what? She was willing to live by faith. Now, just think about this for a minute. Here you are, a young girl, and you've done all these things. You found favor with God. You've kept yourself pure, and you've got you a good husband to be. Everything's working out just fine. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Right. Mary even asked, said, how's that going to happen, seeing I know not a man? He said, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you. Okay. She believed that. Contrast this. Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, was in the temple. He was a Levite. He was doing his prayers. His wife Elizabeth was older than, I was going to say older than dirt. I didn't mean to. That wasn't. She was old enough so that she couldn't have babies. She was barren. That's what they called her. She was barren. Okay? And so he's in there, and the angel shows up and says, you know what? Your wife's going to have a baby. By natural means. In other words, you're going to be the father. And he's like, how in the world are you going to pull that off? And the angel says, you're not believing me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut your mouth. You're going to be dumb until the baby's born. And sure enough, he came out of there and they're like, hey, Zacharias, how are things going? Couldn't talk. Got a little thing, you know, a writing tablet or whatever, and wrote on that. You ever see a husband and wife get in an argument when one of them has to use a writing tablet? You know those deals that we had when we were kids that had that black wax material behind it and had the cellophane that goes on the top and you write like that and the words come and then like that and then you do? I saw two guys in a church one time and they started getting into an argument. She didn't understand what he was saying. He started writing harder and man, that is funny. Can you see Zacharias getting in the argument with Elizabeth? Anyway, he was dumb for 9 months. And then when John was born, they said, okay, we're going to name him for the family name. Finally, poop, the tongue opened like that, and he said, no, you're going to name him John. And started talking. Zacharias had been in the things of the Lord for a pretty good period of time. He didn't believe a natural conception with an older wife. Mary was young in the things of the Lord, and there wasn't even going to be a man involved. And she believed it. That's some faith. That's big faith for a young girl. That's big faith. Blessed is she that believed. Be it unto me according to thy word, she said, for with God nothing shall be impossible, the angel said. You say, well, what is it to live by faith? You know what? As you think about it, it's really simpler than it sounds. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did he say that? Okay, then live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and you'll be living by faith. Listen, he never asked you to count on something blind, with no substance and no evidence for believing it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He counted on you saying, just take what I said at face value and live by that. That's living by faith. I mean, it's simple. I'm not saying that it's not difficult, but it is simple in that it doesn't make it very confusing. He just lays it right out there for you. And you simply do what he says. Listen, you know what happens? Mary was young. I don't know what age, but she was young when all this took place. You know what goes through the minds of young people? And I say that. I was young once. It went through my mind. I've raised young people in my own household. It's gone through their minds. We have young people that are in here, and it goes through their minds. You know what's going through their minds? This is a rule book. That's what goes through your mind, right, Ryan? I'm going to say yes. I'm not sure what he was talking about, but I'm going to say yes. We look at that as a rule book. You mean I got to do that? I got to go to church? I got to give? I got to, got to, got to, got to? I'm tired of getting. I'm going to go to the military so I don't have to do anything anymore. There are people that have done that, right? They get over there and they find out, whoa, wow, they're telling me, they even tell me how to dress around here. It's terrible. You know, you do it in church, they don't like it. Do it in the military, and they're all like real happy about it for some reason. Or to run a hurry up and go. This is not a rule book. This is a book of life. It's not a rule book. You live by these words. And if you put your faith in what God said and do it, it's amazing how it works out. It's a spiritual book. You know why? Here's the difference between a rule book and this book here. Make it real plain to you, then I'll move on to the next thing. A rule book says, do this, 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 and don't do that, 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 whatever you do. But it doesn't give you the power to do any of it. It just tells you what you're not supposed to do and what you can do. This book, on the other hand, is not a rule book. This book of life. You read what it says and you look at that and say, I can't do that. And then in it, it works out what you can't do on your own, does it for you. It really does. This book works in you by the divine power of the Spirit of God so that you do the things that you cannot do. And do them well. And when it's all over, God did it in you and then rewards you for letting Him do it. What a fabulous, you can't beat that deal. You cannot. And she was willing to live by faith. What was it in Mary that was so wonderful? She was a virgin. She was espoused to a good man. She was favored by the Lord and willing to live by faith. And I'll mention one other thing. Verse 46 and verse 47. When Elizabeth had given the salutation, Mary said in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." There's a common misconception about the Virgin Mary. I mean, she was a virgin at this time. The common misconception is that she was born without sin, something called an immaculate conception. And I believed that for the longest time until I read the Bible. When you read the Bible, you find out that when Jesus was born, there was a law in the Old Testament that after a certain period of time, the baby was taken to the temple to be dedicated. In the case of a boy, 8 days, because he has to be circumcised. So they go down there to the temple, and the woman makes an offering according to Leviticus chapter 12. And that offering for her was two turtle doves, like pigeons. And those things are offered, the Bible says, for her cleansing. For her cleansing. If it was an immaculate conception, there would have been no need for that offering. She made that offering. She made that offering. Now, that doesn't cast any reproach toward Mary. She was favored by the Lord and willing to live by faith. She'd done everything else right up to this. It's not the point. The point is, she, listen, was willing to humble herself and get saved. She was willing to humble herself and get saved. People say, well, there wasn't any reason for her to need to get saved. Listen what she said. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He wouldn't have had to be her Savior if she didn't need to be saved. See that? And look, she didn't magnify herself. Look at all these great things I've done and now I'm saved. She said, I magnify the Lord. I magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You know what the problem is today? So many people are not willing to humble themselves and get saved. I'm reading, I know this. You're going to think this is funny. I hate to even confess this, but I'm doing it, so I'll tell you. At night, when I get ready to go to bed, I don't like to read something heavy. The way my mind works, I pick it up and I want to solve it. I need something that I don't have to solve. So short stories in a Reader's Digest are just perfect. You don't have to solve anything. You just read that and fall asleep. All right, well, the children, when they were growing up, read different books. They're all upstairs in the den, and so I went up there and I got a book called Cheaper by the Dozen. You ever see a movie or read that book? Okay. And it's truly about a husband and wife that decided they wanted 12 children. They wanted 6 boys and 6 girls, and they had 6 boys and they had 6 girls. It was fascinating. And Mr. Gilbreth, the husband, was this genius at management in factory settings, saving human motion and narrowing down the number of movements necessary to complete a task and therefore increasing efficiency. He made a lot of money with all that. He was brilliant. But in there, he talks about being on a trip with the kids or on a boat. It was either on a boat or in a train. Let's see, it was getting late. 8 days. I think he was on a boat. I think he was going to Europe, to London. And he was on a boat, and there was a ministerial alliance on that boat and a bunch of preachers. And he said, every day, these preachers kept coming to me and saying something to me about getting to know Jesus or coming to Jesus, whatever that is. That's what he said, whatever that is. And he said, I don't know what that was, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And I didn't want anything to do with them. And so he went on about his thing. And I thought to myself, what a sad deal. God's blessed this man with what he wanted, 6 boys, 6 girls, a good wife, a tremendous job, a great mind, And every day for 8 days, people came to him and said, you need to come to Jesus, whatever that is. And he didn't want anything to do with them or him. And if nothing else changed from that day till the day he died without Christ. And if he died without Christ, he doesn't go to heaven. According to the Bible, one or two places, he wound up in hell. I don't say that to judge. I'm just telling you based on his own testimony. And you know what? I was kind of being entertained by that book, and I got to that page on page 48 or 9, and I, you know what? I just, spirit went out of me. I thought, how sad. But you know what? The spirit goes out of me when I think about today, they're liable to be a young lady or woman or mother or grandmother or something. Somebody said something about coming to Jesus, and it's kind of like, whatever that is, it's a sad thing. Whatever that is something very, very precious. And I just want to tell you one little piece about it, enough so you'll understand my concern, and then we'll close. You see this little mother here, this woman who had so dedicated her life to the Lord that she found favor with God and waited to find a good man and waited for the benefits of marriage, the physical benefits of marriage, and was willing to live by faith. A bad thing happened because that little boy that she had, miraculously, every night when she'd go to bed, she'd be thinking, wow, what a great miracle that this baby was born by the Holy Spirit. Whoa, what in the world is this? A divine thing. He grows up, and now that he's about 30 years old, he becomes Mr. Popularity, but not by his own choices. He's healing people. He's raising the dead. He's cleansing lepers. He's casting out devils. Shockwaves go through Israel. The Messiah's here. Only trouble is, they expected their Messiah to be somebody that came from a rich family with a big royal robes and all that other kind of thing. This guy was a carpenter. They didn't understand that. And furthermore, he didn't put up with their nonsense. They pretended to be some great spiritual things, and he knew their hearts were filled with pride. He said so. He said, you're a wicked and adulterous generation. The axe is going to be laid to the root of the trees, and whatever tree, you know, is not good is going to be cast into the fire. And he says to the Pharisees, you know, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? And he says to them about the final judgment, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. They didn't like all that. They didn't like all that. He's doing all these great miracles. They didn't like all that. And so they took that boy. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him. They stuck a cross on his back, hung him with two thieves, naked in front of his own mother. The one who went through all this beautiful stuff with the angel and with Joseph and the other children she had. Now she's got to sit there and watch her boy, born by the Holy Spirit, beaten, spit upon, mocked, cursed, and crucified. And he didn't do anything wrong. Perfectly innocent. Imagine just for a minute the turmoil in that mother's heart. And her own son is up there dying like that. She heard the prophecies of the death of her son, and Simeon said to her, yes, spear is going to pierce thine own heart also. And that's the day it happened. She wasn't physically wounded. She was emotionally wounded and spiritually wounded. And what trauma, terror to see this thing go on with your boy. She had to endure all that. What did he die that for? Why him? He was innocent. You know why? Very simply this. You're not as good as he is. He's sinless. And God took the sins you've committed, charged his own son, Jesus Christ, with those sins. Jesus accepted the shame as if he were the one that committed those sins, and then he was the one that was punished for what you did. So you wouldn't have to be punished for that. And you say, come to Jesus, whatever that is, it's huge. A mother allowed her son, pretty much against her will, to be killed so that you wouldn't have to die for your sins, and you want to know whatever that is? That's huge. Now, thank God he rose from the dead 3 days later, and you know that. But the importance of that is to prove he paid for those sins with his death, and he paid for those sins with 3 nights and 3 days in hell so you wouldn't have to pay for them, and then rose from the dead to prove to you that the life he's offering you, eternal life, is a life that he has to give you that you can have with him if you'll take him. Whatever that is. I'm telling you, it's good. He had a very special woman in mind when he picked Mary. My prayer is that you'll want to be like that. Clean. Oh, you're already married, then totally and absolutely dedicated to your husband. Clean. The marriage bed is undefiled. Clean. Spouse to a good man. In favor with the Lord. Willing to live by faith and willing to humble herself and get saved. I'd say if you're here today and you want to live like that but you don't know Jesus Christ, you could humble yourself and say, you know what, I'm willing to get saved. I don't know very much about it. Listen, if you're just willing, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. After this service, you'd come to me and say, you know what, that really stirred my heart. You're telling me something about Jesus Christ I didn't know. Tell me more. Or you could say, I want to come back and hear more of this preaching. I'd like to get to know Jesus Christ. Or come by my house and tell me more. There's something special that woman gave up when she gave up her boy. There's something special that boy Jesus did for me. I want to know more about it. I'll come by. Any way you want to work it. But listen, just be willing to humble yourself and get saved. You'll be amazed at the results. They are eternal, and they are good. Let's pray. Holy Father, we ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to help. Wouldn't it be something, Lord, if today women that were here, particularly young women were here, said, you know what, I'm not going to follow the ways of this world and do my life the world's way. Yeah, I'm going to pick up what Mary did and I'm going to go with it. That's good. Then, Father, I pray that you will work that in their lives. I pray, Father, that they will turn to you and look to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I want to sanctify my life. I want God to be pleased with me, regardless of what the world thinks. And, Father, which we have men or women here today that have never realized what Jesus Christ has done for them and they need to be saved, I pray, Heavenly Father, they'll be willing to humble themselves like Mary did and profess that God is their Savior by faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, the world has trashed women, making them think that they're better by being exploited, and that's not true. And truly, Mary was not one to be exploited. And I pray, Lord, that our women will do the same and realize, man, we don't want to go with the world. We want to go with Jesus. Please help us, Father, please. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, search your own heart for just a minute. Are you like Mary? If you're not, you know you can be with God. All things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible to God. Why don't you ask the Lord right now to help you be like Mary? You're here today and you're without Christ. You're not saved. You haven't humbled yourself before the Lord to receive Christ. Would you be willing to do that? We're going to have an invitation hymn in just a minute. You won't have to look for your hymn books. You won't even have to stand. I'm going to ask the Nortons to play an invitation hymn. And I want you to think very seriously about what you heard today. And ask the Lord to give you the strength to do what he wants you to do about what you've heard. Father, I ask you please to help this congregation, these ladies, these men, with these words. In Jesus' name, amen.